We're in John chapter 7 this morning. And, you know, last week we looked at, you know, when was the right time to do what Christ was going to do? When was it the right time? Well, you know, with God, he does things in his own time. His ways are higher than our ways. We were talking about that in Sunday school, where sometimes we just don't see his hand in the work of things. But then if we just stop and pray and listen to what he has to say, we understand things better. There's a time for ministries to prosper, as one evangelist told me years ago. And then there's a time when they seem like they die out, but then they're still in the hands of God, still working and still doing the work of God. And so it's happened everywhere. And, you know, even though you might see one ministry prospering and another not, remember, God's still in control. That was giving me some advice years and years ago. And I've always taken a comfort in that. I've hid in my heart so I don't sin against him. And so, you know, so many people out there today are angry. Well, you had angry people in Jesus' time in John chapter 7. And even had his family members saying to him, Jesus, why don't you go down to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and why don't you tell them about all these things that you can do, and why don't we just take care of the problem here. We have a political problem like today. We can't tell God today, Lord, we got a political problem, fix it. God has a bigger plan. He's got a huge picture. Today we look at things sometimes in little pictures. But sometimes on the walls we have the big pictures that we can see things clearly. God wants us by his grace to understand that he went through the exact same thing we're going through today. Exactly, verbatim. And we've had family members have told us, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? We know what's best for you. Sometimes advice is not the very best advice we get from people. So we have to sift through things. Be careful that we're not being sifted by the devil, but letting God sift us to know exactly and finding those jewels, those things in our lives that God shows us. So Jesus said, no, in my own time I will go to the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the best time where all the people are at, sometimes the best time's not God's time. And so we have to be patient and do our due diligence in being faithful and bear our crosses. As I told one brother this morning, sometimes we have to be on our knees bearing our crosses. You know, but God's still there. He's still there. Even when things don't look right, seem right, you know. But yet Jesus understood that, as we see in John chapter 7. So they were angry at him because apparently Jesus had done things on the Sabbath they did not like. So now the people here in verse 12 in John chapter 7 says, and there was much murmuring amongst the people concerning him, for some said he was a good man, others say, nay, he deceived the people. Kind of like goes by what people tell us today, or people talk about us today. And I know we don't have those people here with us today, but just be careful about what we say to other people, about other people, because it always comes back. Either that somebody will tell us what we said about them, or God will tell us what we said about them. Either which way. So with Jesus, he took the brunt. It's amazing. It's amazing how God just continues to love us today. He loved those people, even those people that, as one person said in Romans chapter 1, that they deliberately withheld the truth. They withheld the truth. And then they were trying to say in Romans chapter 1 that they were trying to do everything they could just to block God out of their mind. It's no different as it was in Jesus' time as it is today. You still have that hardness of heart today. People won't tell you the truth. They'll lie to you. They'll do everything they can. They didn't want Jesus around because they were very selfish. We live in a very selfish society. You do have some good people, though. One man said about a younger generation, you know, he says, it's not like it was 40 years ago here in the Oconomowoc area. A lot of the kids used to say thank you, no thank you, and show good manners. But he says, you don't see that much. Yes, you do have good kids today. But he says that a lot of kids, their manners, they aren't there. It's more of a society of you owe me, or the entitled society. We've seen a new religion rise today called being woke. And so verse 13 says, how about no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews? So you had people there that did not want to be ostracized. They did not want to lose their privilege of going to the synagogue. They did not want to lose their privilege of being part of the family. They did not want to lose their jobs. And so, but Jesus knew the right time. He knew this. He wasn't afraid of what people thought. Unfortunately, today we have a tendency to fear, and we don't go by faith. And I know today that many of us here today, not all of us, God knows your heart, that try by faith every day and look at the new mercies of God every morning, like it says in Lamentations chapter 3. God is merciful. He is kind. He is generous. He is good to us. And likewise, we need to encourage one another today more than any other time. We need to be there for one another. And so with that going on, people were very afraid. And it says here that now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So he went into the temple. There were two porches. There was one called the royal porch, and the other one was called Solomon's porch. And it was a shaded area. And what rabbis used to do, they would come there and they would teach in the morning hours, or they would teach in the evening hours, not in the afternoon hours. I'm sure none of us would want to go for a walk in the afternoon. Yesterday afternoon was very, very hot. So they thought, you know, we'd be better off to be there. And yet that's what, you know, Peter and John did. That's what the disciples did in Acts. They went in the morning and in the evening. Now, Jesus did the same thing. And they could not find, the people could not find out where Jesus was. You know, people are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places today. They do not want the Word of God. It's no different back then than it is today. People are still sinners, and they will try any which way to avoid the truth. Remember, Jesus was there about truth and righteousness. You know, when you look at the symbol of justice, Lady Justice, why does she have a blindfold around her eyes? It's because they say, you know, justice is blind. Well, and she has a scale. And Lady Justice says, I go by truth and righteousness. That's how originally it was forefounded. Okay? So it's not, the people, my point is, the people were looking all on the outside what they could get. And for their greedy expectations, Christ was looking at the hearts of people and saying, you need a savior. Okay? When you're in a courtroom, you have the evidence brought forth, okay, by the prosecution and also by the defendant. And, you know, you have the two sides there. And you have, with us, our advocate is Jesus Christ. And he covered. We looked at this in Hebrews chapter 8. We're looking at the new covenant. These people from the Old Testament ways, in Jesus' time, they were still looking at the Old Testament. The ways that you have to work your way to heaven. And they looked at the Mosaic covenant. They looked at Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you must be the second Moses. Oh, no, wait a minute. You must be Elijah. They were doing everything except for accepting him as Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One. Okay, remember, John was written to show what? About Christ's incarnation, about God in the flesh. Today, we witness to people about we need to let people know Christ did come in the flesh. For those who deny it, They are antichrist, like it says in 1 John. They deny that he came into the flesh. And so, getting back here, so he's in the temple, and he's there now, and he taught. And the Jews marveled, verse 15, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? There were over 30 schools in the Jerusalem area in that day that you could go to if you wanted to be a rabbi. You would have to be indoctrinated, and somebody had to come alongside of you and teach you the things of the rabbinical law. They have that today. If you want to be a rabbi, you need to be associated, which I think is a great way to teach somebody, to come alongside of you and teach you the scriptures. And it's very difficult from what I've read and when I've talked to a rabbi. He actually said, you know, everything there you have to learn. A lot of it's rote memory. A lot of it is keeping the law. A lot of it is do's and don'ts. And so they're saying to Jesus, where are your degrees? Now, they have some very fine people today that don't have degrees that God's called to what they've been called to in the ministry. You don't have to have a degree to be called into the ministry. You don't have to have a degree to be a fine, outstanding workman in your workplace. You don't have to have that, but you were called of God. And God expects the best from you, the very best, because you don't do it for that business. You do it as unto the Lord. That's how you can stay in your business, your calling. And yet, you know, they looked at Jesus and they were saying, how has this man spoke like this? He's never spoken. No man has ever spoken like this before. Who is he? I tell you, what gets people's attention is you listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about, and you just can't stop listening. Well, they were just getting all this from Christ. And so Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but it is he that sent me. That was his Father. Jesus knew the Old Testament in and out. He was the author. He was God in the flesh. He would know. And yet, but they still, and this is what amazes me today through the Spirit of God, that we can witness to people. Yes, it's getting hot outside. Well, you know what? 3 months ago, it was very, very cold, remember? It's how quickly we forget. How quickly people forget, like the weather, they forget about God's word. And they think, oh, I know better. No, you don't know well enough. Jesus was not interested in intellectualism. He was interested in the truth. That's where it all stands on the foundation, the truth and the way. And he was that. Verse 17 says, and any man will do his will. He will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. What Christ was more interested in was obedience. His will, his doctrine, his way. You know, God is hurt when people are disobedient to him. He weeps. Remember, he was 100% man. He's 100% God. He understands when people are being disobedient, but he loves them. And it was amazing. Christ came on this earth as love, as a servant, to care. One day he's going to be the judge, and we don't want to be on that side, so to speak. And so we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. He understands us. He knows all about us. He knows our names, where we live. He knows all about our past. He knows all about our future. He knows about our trials. He knows about our sufferings. He knows it all. So, verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. You know, the big contrast between the two is that these Jewish leaders, the unsaved people, thought that they were all righteous, and Jesus was unrighteous. Can you believe that? You know, you have people that are so proud today, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who is proud. And yet, you had Jesus, who was all righteousness. And he was that because he was perfect. Remember last week, his family, I'm sure trying to grow up with somebody who was perfect was very hard. And yet, like I said last week, they did not come to know Christ, according to Matthew chapter 15, until after his resurrection. And remember, he had four brothers, and he even says in there he had sisters, didn't say how many he had. But growing up with Jesus, I'm sure, was a very difficult thing. But he knew that. He understood that. So his claims were real, who he was. Regardless, today, we claim to be Christians, right? Well, people can make the choice. It's up to them whether they want to accept it or reject it. We just go on by faith, believing it. Then it says here in verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you kept the law? Why do you go about to kill me? They forgot that through their hearts that they were breaking the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. They wanted to murder Jesus. They hated him. Since the time that he broke the Sabbath there in John chapter 5, the Pool of Siloam, because a crippled man was there for 40 years, they brought him. They don't know how it happened, but apparently he could have been born that way. He could have had an accident, but he was brought to that pool for healing, a miracle. And yet, as we see what happens is they were angry because it was done on the Sabbath. But yet, circumcision could be done on there on the Sabbath. And yet, they were okay with that. Jesus saying, look, I healed somebody. What's wrong with that? They were so obsessed with works being on the Sabbath that they had their own rules, their own regulations. Look at our churches today. They've become political, very political. Say, what do you mean by that? In other words, they've made their own interpretations, their own laws, their own ways to get to heaven. And yet they have their self-righteousness. Jesus is no longer righteous. You have a one man today who's equal with Jesus, and that's called the Pope. And, you know, you have other ways that people say you can get to heaven. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow, and few that are to find it. Don't be discouraged, my brother, today, if we're just few in number. Remember, there are other countries as well where there are few in number. And I really don't see these real big, big churches with them all being saved. I really don't see that. My home church is very big, 1,500 people. And I know the pastor there very well. We grew up together in that church. And he says, don't let it fool you. He says, I'd rather have a small church any day instead of having a large church. But he has pastors to help him out, three of them to help him out with his day-to-day work. But he says, don't let it fool you. It doesn't mean that they're all saved. No. And yet, and then we see in verse 19, as we just read that in verse 20, it says, and the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee. In other words, they were accusing Jesus, like John the Baptist, saying, look, you have a devil. You can't do the things that you do. That's blasphemy. And yet, what they're trying to tell Jesus is that, Jesus, you're paranoid. You're so paranoid about people saying that, oh, you're going to get killed. You're going to get murdered. You know, they weren't listening to what Christ had to say. And we have the spirit of Antichrist today. It's more prevalent in this country. I remember when I was in the Czech Republic as a missionary for 2 years. And other missionaries here can abide to it today. You could go into a foreign country and you just don't sense the Spirit of God like you did when you come over here to the United States. You just didn't sense it as clearly. But now today, I'm sensing it less and less, the Spirit of Christ. I see a lot of form of godliness, but I see a lot of the power being denied. And we've seen that more and more today. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, you know, it's amazing, God's love again. He could have just closed it up and says, I'm out of here. I'm done. God doesn't quit. God keeps going on, going on, and he loves us, and it's wonderful. Jesus said unto them, I have done one work, and ye marvel. He's talking about the man in the pool of Siloam, you know. Moses therefore gave you unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, because of the fathers, but ye on the Sabbath day circumcised the man. It goes all the way back to the time of Father Abraham with circumcision. He says, aren't you even reading God's word? We looked at that in Sunday school, how they even today through the rabbinical law and what has been written from the Torah and what other letters have been written by the rabbis, that they still twist things around. You know, like in Isaiah 53 we talked about. It's talking about they say it's about the nation of Israel, not Jesus. So, you know, we need to be aware and we need to be dogmatic about our doctrine. And thank God that we are. We are. Because there are very few churches today that preach the Word of God. There are not many left. Don't let it fool you. So we see here with Moses, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Okay. Verse 23. And if a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I had made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Verse 24, the judge not according with the appearance, but judge righteousness, but by righteous judgment. Verse 25, and they said some of them of Jerusalem, is this not he whom they seek to kill? In other words, they were talking behind the scenes. They were like, is there any way we can shut this man up? It's amazing how people will be gratified to get what they want, but if they don't want to hear the truth, they'll cover it up right away. We see that today in the news happening all the time. It makes me sick to see what's happening in our news today. We need to pray that our country makes a quick turnaround. It might be too late, but I believe through God's grace, it can be never too late. If God's people would turn around, like it happened in Jeremiah's time. We are in the 50th chapter, and we see God's grace still comes out. And those who even attacked Israel, we are learning in Jeremiah and Judea, God was still merciful to those remnant to bring into the kingdom of God. So God's grace and his mercy abounded, super abounded. So take encouragement today. We might have somebody who's not saved, but we've been praying for years and years. Are those who used to come to church, don't come anymore, little ones that have turned to the ways of the world. We are never going to give up on them because God never gave up on us. He loves us. So it says here, but in verse 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? How about we know that this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. They were so confused about Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and they were very confused about Isaiah 53:8. They were saying, look, when Christ comes, this is going to come suddenly. What they didn't interpret in those passages was talking about his second coming, when he comes suddenly. Okay? It's not talking about, you know, when he comes as a man fleshed as God. They didn't go back to the time of Isaiah 7:14. Remember, Matthew 1:23 hadn't been written yet. But remember, there is going to be a Savior coming from Bethlehem, Emmanuel. You know, but they didn't listen. They didn't bother to study God's word. And then it says here, then cries Jesus in the temple. And this is just amazing. He preaches now. He lifts up his voice. You ever cried out to somebody? Did you listen to what I'm saying? Not that you're angry, it's just that you have to elevate your voice. And he's saying, pay attention, you know? And, you know, oh, okay, you know? And Jesus in his temple, as he taught, saying, ye both know me and you know when I am. And I am not come of myself, but that sent me is true, whom ye know not. He's saying, look, I came from my Father, but, you know, as he said later on in the next few chapters, he says, you know, you're not of my Father, but you're of your father, the devil. Two different kinds of fathers there. Verse 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, and by then they lost it. They were like, okay, we're done with this guy. You know, and remember, there are some passages where they actually close up their ears and start screaming out, you know, different verses of the Bible because they can't take it anymore. You ever get around a kid that's being a little brat, and she, you know, closes up their ears like, you know, don't want to do that. Sometimes moms and dads do that because they can't take it anymore. But seriously, a temper tantrum is what happens here. And they're ready to kill him. Then they sought to take him, and no man laid hands on him because his hour's not yet come. In other words, he was going to die on the cross in 6 months. I love that because he's in control of everything. Verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, we will do more miracles than these which this man hath done. In other words, they weren't listening. They weren't paying attention. Yeah, they believed in what he was saying, but it was more of a mental understanding, but it wasn't a heart understanding. Yeah, you met people like that. On the surface, they'll agree with you on everything. So when you witness the people, don't tell them things that they ought to know. You'll let them talk. Let them do all the talking. Okay, just be patient. If they want to talk to you, then let them talk to you. But at this time, they understood mentally, intellectually, but their heart was not there. Verse 32, and the Pharisees heard the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Remember, they had their own officers, their own military there in the temple. And remember, they were on the in Solomon's porch or the royal porch. And they said, well, you know what? Arrest this man. Arrest this man. And then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him who sent me. Jesus is saying something they don't totally understand. Just like the disciples didn't understand, he's talking about his resurrection. He goes, I'm going to a place where you've never been before, where you can't go because the resurrection hadn't happened yet. Let me encourage everybody here. God has a plan for us. Sometimes right now things make no sense. The saying goes, don't make any sense of it. If it don't make no sense, remember God does make sense, and he will make things in the future. He will show us all these things will come to pass. Keep true. Keep strong in the Lord. Let me encourage you. Stay in there. Stay in the faith. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Verse 34, ye shall seek me and where shall not find me. Where I am, neither can you come. Verse 35 and 36 says, and then the Jews among themselves, whither will we go that we may not find him? They were lost. Will he go unto the dispersed among Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? In other words, that is the worst disrespectful thing as a Jewish person to say that, oh, you're going to go to the four corners there now, Jesus, and go to the Gentiles? They would have nothing to do with Gentiles. Remember, they washed their hands. If they had to shake their hand, they wouldn't even walk on Gentile land. They would have to wash their feet and say a lot of prayers to God. They would have nothing to do with Gentiles. It's amazing. Even back in Abraham's day, they were called to be witnesses, even in Moses' day, to the Gentiles. Okay? But they lost that too. The church today is supposed to be a witness. Doesn't history repeat itself? Okay. And so, verse 36, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and ye shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye shall not come. They were so busy hating on Jesus that they completely lost it. They wanted to have nothing to do with him. They were saying, this Jesus makes no sense. A self-righteous person will think that they're right all the time. When it comes to God, remember, he never forces his love on us. I know I've done funerals, I've done weddings, and I always try to have a gospel message in there because I never know who I'm speaking to. And the point is, brethren, my beloved brethren, remember, God never pushes his love. Just say what you have to say and let God take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest because we know there's nothing righteous in us. It's all of him. So let's keep together with the Holy Spirit today. So there were the claims of Christ, as I'm closing here, because we have the Lord's Supper. And there were other things I wanted to say, but I don't have time. But Christ claimed who he was, and yet people had to make a choice whether to follow him or not. And you know what? If people don't want to, it's time to move on, right? In church today, we're doing the best we can. Honestly, we're doing the best we can. We have a great board. We have a great congregation. We have great people to come here. We are doing the best we can. Thank God for that. And that's what he expects from us. Encourage everybody with that. Okay? So keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't look at on the outside. Look what's on the inside. Okay? So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Lord, just pray, anybody here online who doesn't know you, we just pray that you'd come to know you. And Lord, help us all, God, to learn from what you had to teach us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.